So I prayed, Lord, give me a message. And then I got to thinking it's Thanksgiving, and usually when I pastored, I try to come up with some thoughts about Thanksgiving. There's a lot of scripture about Thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. And as we sung, He's worthy, and He alone is worthy to receive glory, honor, and praise. So it's really not about me, folks. It's about Him. And it's about each of us, our lives. Do they comply or line up with the Word of God? So I was sitting in my study and just reading, and I flipped to the book of Jonah. And I was reading about Jonah. I said, Lord, I better put this down. I want to preach on something on Thanksgiving. And then I got over to chapter 2 and verse 9. And Jonah, I'll get into my message here, but just a little comment. After he went through what he went through, and the Lord delivered him on dry ground, he had a change of heart and a little attitude adjustment. And when he come out, he wasn't rebellious to try to flee, to go to the Father's place that he could to flee the presence of God. But he, with a voice of thanksgiving, he started praising God. I said, that's it. Probably going to be the most unusual sermon you ever heard about Thanksgiving. But I think there'll be some truths in it that we need to be reminded of. And I trust that the Word of God will be encouraging and strengthening to you. I would like to say we got a text from our pastor this morning, and he said, we're praying for you, Brother Vett, and we're praying, you know, for the church, I'm sure. And he said, we pray that everything go well. Sent it on my wife's text. He didn't have my number right there. And so I said, text him back. Tell him, I appreciate it. I need all the prayers I can get. And probably some of you do too. I mean, just a thought, probably. We can use all the prayers we can get. I don't know that prayers will ever hurt anybody. I think it'll do good because the Lord appreciates when we pray to Him. That's communicating. And I want to begin by just reading. I give Brother Allen two scriptures to start with, but I'm going to read three. From Jonah chapter 1. And begin and read verses 1, 2, and 3. And pay attention. There's certain terms and certain words that are used over and over and over in the four short chapters of Jonah. They really have a lot of meaning. And this very first verse speaks about it. Now, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it, going with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, I come to You this morning, Lord, in need of a special anointing, special prayer. And I pray that You'll help me deliver the message and Word of God that I believe You have given to me. I pray that it will apply to each and every one of our lives, these biblical principles. And help us, God, to realize that if we'll offer praise and thanksgiving to You, that there's no circumstance, there's no condition, there's no situation that You won't come through in our behalf if we offer thanksgiving and praise unto Thee. So I pray today, God, that we'll see these biblical principles and we'll apply them to our lives. In the wonderful and precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Jonah was one of the minor prophets of Israel. Minor to the standpoint that the minor prophets' time of prophesying or ministering was a shorter period of time than of the major prophets. There are minor prophets in the Bible and major prophets. Minor prophets is like Obadiah, Amos, Jonah. Major prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. So minor is just minor in the duration of time that they ministered. So it doesn't matter who the preacher is or who the one is communicating the Word of God. The Word of God is the Word of God. Amen. And so that's what we need to understand. You know, there's all kind of descriptions of pastors and how they look and how they act. And I've heard a lot of the situations of who churches wanted for pastors, and it's getting more difficult to assign pastors anymore. People, they really want what they want, I believe. I don't think they're necessarily wanting what God wants. And that's a dangerous situation to find yourself in when you're selfish. This person named Jonah, he was kind of selfish. He had some ulterior motives in what how he looked at things. And so it's a danger to be like that. But anyhow, God knows who to use, when to use. And He knew about us being here today, how we are. And I really appreciate every one of you coming. It means a lot to a speaker when people come and they want to hear the Word of God. And I appreciate you coming today and being here. Now, the Word of the Lord came to Jonah, and it told him that He wanted him to go to Nineveh. And I'll mention more about that in a few minutes and what he was to do. In fact, he preached one of the shortest sermons or messages that's recorded in the Scripture to a very wicked, evil city. There was an 8-word sermon. I know you'd be happy if I preached 8 words and would leave and go home. But I could. I could say, unless you repent, you're going to hell. That's the Word of God. But I'm not going to try to be mean-spirited or anything. But I want to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God because that's what we're required to do. Anyhow, let me get to the thought. Nineveh was a great city. It was a city of 120,000 inhabitants. It was a capital of Assyria. It is located in what we know today as Iraq. In the day of this narrative of the Scriptures, the Assyrians were enemies of Israel. And perhaps today they are too. Jonah hated them, and he wanted them to be destroyed, not be delivered. God wanted Jonah, the prophet, to deliver a message of warning for their deliverance. Why? Because they were very evil, wicked, immoral. The way they lived and the way they acted indicated that. God wanted to reveal not only to His chosen people, Israel, but to all people, that He was a God of mercy and a God of second chance. Keep that in mind. God of mercy, God of second chance. When the word of the Lord came to Jonah to go to Nineveh and proclaim the message that God had given him, he rebelled. That's not a good thing, folks, to rebel against God. But anyhow, we'll see that later on. He had a personal agenda. He didn't want to go to Nineveh to speak to the people, because he knew the Word of God. He knew God was gracious and God was compassionate and God was long-suffering. And he knew that God, if the people responded to the message of God, God would save them. He would spare them. He wouldn't destroy them. So that wasn't what Jonah wanted. He hated them. And if you talk to him today, he said, "Give it to them, Lord. Zap them. Whack them. Destroy them. Do whatever you need to do. Them, that, you know how they've treated your people throughout our lives." He said, "They deserve it anyhow. Why you want to be merciful and compassionate to this people? They're mean. They're evil." But anyhow, he didn't want to go there. So he thought, he knew apparently about the ships and where they went. So he went down to Joppa. And he found a ship headed to Tarshish. And one of the commentaries I read about said Tarshish was 2,500 miles away from Nineveh. So I don't know if that's true. It seems like it's far stretched to me, but anyhow, it was a long distance. In his mind, he was going to try to go the furthest distance he could from the presence of God. That's a danger, trying to run from the presence of God. But he tried. And another thought, he went down to Joppa. He went down and boarded a ship. And we'll find out it don't stop there. He kept going down. So the moral of the sermon is, when you're on your downward spiral, there's one way to go: down, 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 down. And when you're on that road, you need to start looking up. And God knows how to get you to look up. You may have to be vomited up, but God can cause you to look up. Anyway, he didn't want to go to Nineveh because he felt like God would spare their lives. And so he's going to try to run from the presence of God. We know that's impossible. Jonah decided not to obey the command of the Lord to warn the people. And to go to Nineveh, so he fled the presence, or tried to flee the presence of the Lord. Being a prophet, he ought to have known better. He was a man used of God to prophesy and speak and talk about the goodness of God. He was a prophet, a man of God. But he sure was a disobedient prophet. And we know that that happens even today. There are people that are not what they say they are. Being a prophet of God and being used many times, he should have known that he was making a mistake trying to run from the presence of God. But apparently he didn't care, because his rebellious spirit brought havoc upon his own life and upon those that was around him, those that was on the ship and around him. See, it's not God's will that any people would perish, even our enemies, but that all would come to repentance and accept him as their Lord and Savior. We know God cares about the whole creation. That's why he sent his Son, Jesus, to Calvary, to die in our stead, that we might come to the knowledge of truth. So God cares about everybody. And I've mentioned it before, it don't matter who you are, it don't matter what you are, it don't matter what you've done, it don't matter how long you've done it, it doesn't matter what kind of sin you've committed and how long you've lived in that kind of condition. God's grace and God's mercy will reach to the lowest hell. And I'm grateful to that, and I know that you are today too. So let us look at the whole story of Jonah here. First of all, the Lord commands to Jonah. It's not an option. He told him go. When God says go, he means go. He don't mean stay. He don't mean find excuses. He don't want you to retreat. He don't want to say, I know better than you, God. He was a command of God, not optional. It's not multiple choice. It's direct. A command of God, go. I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to warn them of their wicked, evil ways. And when you do, then God knew that he was going to spare the people, and he wouldn't destroy them. Jonah thought that, and that's how come Jonah had the problem he had, because he didn't want the people spared. What an attitude, what a point of view he had. But when you hate somebody, you hate them, I guess. He certainly, we find out how much he hated them. So, but he says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out. And when you cry out, usually it has some kind of emotions when you cry. Sometimes it's sorrow, but sometimes it's joy. Sometimes it's peace. Sometimes it's happiness. Sometimes it's a praise to cry out. A lot of times when people pray, they cry out to the Lord. They want to be heard. They want to receive an answer. They want to hear from heaven. And we need to hear from heaven often. That's why we need to communicate with God, and that's why we need to do His will. But anyhow, the Lord said, arise and go to Nineveh. Well, we found out Jonah rose up, but he didn't go to Nineveh. Not right then. He's going to go, but he didn't go right then. God had a plan to change his mind. And if you don't mind out, he'll change our mind about some things. But anyway, he rose, and that's when he went down to Joppa. He went down in the ship, trying to run from the presence of God, but we know it don't work. Psalms 139, verses 7 and 10 states, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea. You're going to hear that again, the sea. And dwell in the uttermost part of the sea. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Sounds like to me you can't run from the presence of God. There's a theological term that's called omniscience. That means God is all knowledgeable. There is one called omnipresent. That means God is everywhere present. And there's another one called omnipotent. And that means God is all powerful. Now, do you think for a minute that we should run from the one who knows everything? We should run from the one that has all power? We should try to run from the one that is ever present, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. Remember, those that want to commit sin and do evil things, God's there. He's taking note. He knows what's going on. You think you're hiding something from God? Forget it. You're not hiding anything from God. I ain't. You ain't. We ain't. ain't. We're not going to do it. We can try all we want to. But unless we cry out to God, there won't be a change of heart. So, you can't run from the presence of God. And I, of course, I've told you the story about the train depot in Atlanta. I won't get back in that, but I all see an eye up there, and somebody wrote the song, "There's an all-seeing eye watching you." So there is an all-seeing eye watching us. And I like what President George W. Bush had to say of when the enemy attacked our country. He said, "You can run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. You can board the ship to Tarsus, but it's not going to make it because I got a different plan for you." Okay, so Jonah found out it doesn't pay to try to run or flee from God. When God speaks, guess what? We need to listen. And we need to listen to what He's got to say. We need to be willing and obedient in our work and service to Him. Because if we're not, the Bible says it's better to obey than sacrifice. So if we don't follow God, there's very likely there's going to be some difficulty along the way. Jonah tried to follow the Burger King slogan. Something like this, "Have it your way," or "Have it my way." That don't work. We need to have it God's way. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey Him. You can trust God. In fact, the Scripture tells us we should. Over in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord." Who? In the Lord. How? "With all thine heart. And lean not upon thy own understanding. In all thy ways." And all means all. 100% all. "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." Word of God. I mean, you can't beat it, folks. He's there for us. In every condition, every situation, we look up, we cry out, we acknowledge Him with praise and thanksgiving. He will come and He'll rescue us if we're even in a whale in the bottom of the sea. He'll do it. That's kind of the compassionate, loving God He is. Well, God spoke to Nineveh, "Rise, go to Nineveh, cry out against it." Why? Because of their wickedness. Jonah didn't want to obey the Lord to start with, but we'll find out later he did when the Lord gave him a second chance. And thank God for a God that will give us a second chance, because most of us blow up at some point in time in our life. From the very moment that we acknowledge and accept Jesus, at some point in time we've done something that we're ashamed of, we shouldn't have done, we need to repent of, we need to make right, we need to line it up in the presence of God. And so thank God that He's a God of second chance. But at first he didn't want to go. He didn't want to do what the Lord had him to do because he had selfish motives. But the results of Jonah's disobedience was every step he took was a downward spiral. He went down to Joppa, as I said. He went down and boarded the ship. And when he was in the ship, the Lord, because of his rebellion, the Lord created a violent wind and a storm came on. I mean a storm. And that ship and its crew and its passengers was about to go under. And so the crew, they started unloading all everything on there they could get rid of. All the goods and everything they had, the wares and everything on that ship, they started throwing it overboard so they'd lighten the ship and hopefully that they could spare it. They did all they could do to do that. And then they put forth a greater effort of rowing. And they would row and row and try to do the best they could to get that boat to land. That didn't work. So they knew something was wrong. So they said, let's cast lots. And the Lord was the one who allowed them to cast lots. And so they cast lots. And the lots, they cast lots for what? To see what the who's causing this problem. Even the world sometimes will know when so-called Christian people's not doing right, they can cause some problems. Well, Jonah caused the problem. They found out as they cast the lots fell on Jonah. And so guess what Jonah done? He went down to Joppa, down. He went down and boarded the ship. And then when he got in the ship, guess what he did? He didn't go up on the top deck. He went down in the ship. Side of the ship. He said, I think I'll just take a nap. I'll try to get this all behind me. I'll take a nap. And he fell fast asleep. And so when the lot fell on him, the master of the ship went down and he woke him and said, oh, sleeper. He had a new name now, oh, sleeper. He says, sleeper, what is this you're doing? I mean, we're about to go under. I want you to get up from there and I want you to pray to your God. Perhaps He will spare us. Even the world will know if we are true Christians and we serve God, there's something about the God we serve is different from the idol gods they serve. So anyhow, he woke up and he got up and they said, the staff of the ship said, who are you anyhow and where are you from? Well, when he first got on ship, he acknowledged that he was running from the presence of God. So we're all ready to give away what he's up to. But they said, he says, I'm a Hebrew. And he said, I'm a Hebrew and I'm from Israel. And he said, remind me, he's running from the Lord. And he says, I realize I'm the problem. And they said, well, what shall we do? He said, just pick me up and throw me in the sea. They prayed to God because they become exceedingly afraid. Exceedingly is mentioned quite a few times in the book of Jonah. That's exceedingly, that's above average, that's abundant, that's greater than. They had exceedingly fear about picking him up and throwing him in because what? There would be murders if he drowned. So they were exceedingly concerned about doing that. As a result of it, they tried to save the boat and bring it in. They couldn't. So they said, well, we don't have any choice. He's a problem. The lots fell on him. Let's do it. They picked him up, threw him overboard, and they thought, well, that's it. That's the end of old Jonah. He's going to go. And guess what happened to him? He went down. He went down to Joppa. He went down board a ship. In the ship, he went down in the ship. And now he's cast overboard, and he's going down in the sea. But God, being that merciful God He is, He knew what was happening to this whole story before it began. He prepared a great fish. Now some people said, now preacher, is that a great fish? Or is that the whale? I heard it was a whale. Some people say, it's a great fish. And it's nothing mentioned about being a whale. Where do they come up from this? I'll tell you where they come up from it. The book of Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. I don't know if I have it wrote down here. Yes, well, I don't, but I got the reference here. But anyhow, Jesus said, speaking about the relationship and about the situation of Jonah, how that he was going to be in the belly of the whale. Jesus called it a whale. In the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. He associated that he, Jesus, would be in the grave 3 days and three nights. And the significance of it, that he was trying to relate those two situations together. And so, there he was at the moment they threw him over. Hey, I mean, look at this whole world. Look how wide the world is. Look at the Pacific, Atlantic, the Mediterranean Sea, and all the other seas, the Black Seas, and everything else around the world. Remember, at that particular place, at that particular situation, the man of God, or supposed to be the man of God, obeying God, going and doing what God has called him to do, but he had a rebellious spirit, but God still loved him. God still had mercy for him. God had mercy for the big city. God wanted the people in the big city saved. He wanted to get the message across to Jonah. I'm not through with you. I'm not finished with you. I'm not ready for you to die and drown. So at that very moment, what happened? He sent that whale. He had prepared. The Bible says he prepared a great fish. He prepared that whale. He prepared and he spoke to that fish. You ever heard of such a thing? How many times have you spoke to a fish? I have a few times. Says, okay, now you bite this. They didn't obey me. But this fish obeyed God. And he spoke to him. And when he spoke to him, the fish appeared at the right place at the right time and opened his mouth and took Jonah in. Can you imagine falling in the mouth of a whale? I think that would get my attention. It got Jonah's attention, but not right to start with. Now, I don't know what's all inside the belly of the whale. I do know the Bible speaks about there were seaweeds all wrapped around his head and his body. And I know when you eat something and it goes in your stomach, I know there's something called digestive, and I know there's more to it than just the stomach. But when I was taking a course in heat and air conditioning, the instructors, though they didn't appear to be too religious, they'd make reference a couple of times to things. They said, now fellas, says this body is an evaporator. You have to have evaporators in air conditioning. He says, it's the greatest design of evaporator ever built. And we know we get outside, we get to digging, and what? We perspire. That's what evaporator does. It changes states of the freon. But we don't have freon in us. Maybe we got freezon. I don't know. But anyhow, there's something there that changes the state, and we perspire. But can you imagine? I don't know what the fish had eaten, the whale had eaten. I don't know how much of that slop was in him, but it was a terrible situation to be in the belly of a whale. First of all, there's darkness there. There's no light. And then you got all that seaweed wrapped around you, and you got all that where he's digesting his food and everything. I'm in a terrible situation to be in. That's what he found himself in. God was merciful. God spared his life. Now what happened at this point? That whale decided that he'd just take Jonah on an excursion of the bottom of the Mediterranean. I don't know how far they went. I don't know how deep, but the Bible says it went to the depths of the mountain of the sea. For 3 days, not 3 minutes, after he swallowed him, he said, oh, that's a rebellious preacher. I don't want him. Spit him back out. He didn't say that. For 3 days and three nights, he was in the bellies of a whale. Now, if you don't have time to think about something for 3 days and three nights about decisions you make, you're in trouble. He had a lot of time to think about it. And while he was there, he got sick. He fainted. And while he was there and he got sick and he fainted, what did he do? He looked up from the belly of the whale, perhaps in the bottom of the sea where he went down, 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 down. And how much further can you go down? Well, he said it seemed like hell to him in the belly of the fish. He used the word hell, from hell. And he cried out. And when I thought about Thanksgiving sermon, and I started reading in Jonah, I said, Lord, that ain't nothing to do with Thanksgiving. But then in chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10, I found the answer. And that's how come, maybe I didn't tell you the title of it, but let me tell you the title of my sermon way over here. The Voice of Thanksgiving and the Mercy of God of a Second Chance. So now we're here in Jonah 2 verses 9 and 10. And what does it say? But I will sacrifice unto thee. In other words, I will put forth an effort now, Lord, to praise you and honor you. I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. In other words, what is he going to be thankful for? I mean, he's all in all this trouble. They throwed him overboard. He's in the belly of the whale. Been there 3 days and nights. Now, what is he thankful for? He's thankful that God had mercy on him and he spared his life. And he started praising God. And when he started praising God with thanksgiving, God causes the fish, I believe, to get sick. And he sent him to shore, the fish. And what happened? He vomited him, threw him up, out on dry land. Amen. Now, in one of the earlier scriptures, and I don't have that ahead of me, but if you want to read, you can find it. Jonah was talking about the situation. He said, one thing I fear the most is God, the creator of heaven and the sea and dry land. He found himself in the sea and he found himself in dry land. But it was a God that created it, and he better thank God that he had mercy on him and he spared his life. And now he got his attention. In fact, I think he got his undivided attention. Because whenever he come out of the belly of the whale, he had a change attitude. He had a change of heart. In fact, I call it an attitude adjustment. Now, some of you know that I've mentioned this about a friend of ours. He wasn't a doctor, but Robert Hart, former state overseer. He said one spiritual attitude will determine one's spiritual altitude. In other words, our attitude will determine how close we are to God. Jonah had a bad attitude. He wanted to see God's people destroyed because they were disobedient. Every one of us would be destroyed if being disobedient was a qualification for it. Because the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, the book for you and the book for me, says, yeah, what does it say? My train of thought. Not any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of the truth. That's my wife. She typed these notes last night. Or late yesterday. She could preach this sermon probably better than me. But anyhow, one thing about it, it's dangerous living with her in a way. Now, she's not going to cut my head off, I don't guess. Throw me in the sea or anything. But she can almost read my mind. That gets pretty serious. But anyhow, Jonah had a change of heart, a change of attitude. When God threw him out, and in chapter 2, verse 1, God repeats what he said in chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord came upon Jonah the second time. Sometimes we don't get the message first time, do we? Sometimes we have to go through a few things, don't we? Before God gets our attention. But I'll tell you what, remember this. You can't run from the presence of God. And when God wants to get your attention, it don't matter how rebellious you are or in disagreement, He's going to get your attention one way or the other. Sometime it may be that He'll allow you to be laid flat on your back before you ever look up and cry out to Him. He allowed Jonah to be sucked into the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights. But He got his attention. The question is, what is it going to take to get our attention? He's going to get it. He's going to get it. So we just will surrender all. Acknowledge Him. Acknowledge He went to the cross. He paid the sin debt for us. We don't have to pay it by giving our life that way. We just have to surrender our life, our will, our purpose to His. And He'll direct our path. So He went down, down, down. And as I mentioned, when you're on the spiral, you go down, down, down. But one good thing about Him, He looked up. Even in the darkness and confines of the belly of the whale, He looked up and cried out with a voice of thanksgiving to God. And as when you're headed down, there's only one direction. You keep going down, down, down. But when you look up, what happens? You keep going up, up, up. If you're looking unto the Lord, the author and finisher of our salvation. So the storms came, the winds blew, and all of the circumstances of Jonah's life happened when he fell asleep and tried to ignore the will of God on his heart and life. And the master of the sea woke him up, the master of the ship woke him up. But remember, it was the master of the sea that saved him. And he is still the master of the sea. It don't matter how raging the storms are. It don't matter how frequent they come. It don't matter how large they are, how destructive they are, what our feelings are, what our situation is. God is always there. And He always cares about you and about me. And I'm thankful to be able to serve a God like that. But Jonah said, yes, I'm going to obey the Lord. I've learned my lesson. Some people I don't think ever learned their lesson. But he said, in essence, I'm paraphrasing, well, I think I've learned my lesson. Now I just will obey the Lord. I can't outrun His presence. Wherever I go, He's going to be there. And so I just will do what He wants me to do to start with. So I think I will. I don't want to go because I want them people destroyed. But because I don't have really any other choice, you know, if you want to be happy in Jesus, you must what? Be trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but trust and obey, as the song says. And the Word of God says. That's when we're happy. So, the master of the sea took charge. And I'm glad that he's still in charge today. Jonah chapter 2 verses 9 and 10. I've kind of mentioned it, but I want to read it. I will sacrifice unto thee. I will sacrifice unto thee, Lord. With the voice of thanksgiving, I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. He was willing to follow God's plan at this point in time in life. And I want to ask each of us, are we willing to follow God's plan? Are we willing to be willing and obedient to serve the Lord? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Now, I don't know that what Jonah went through was sacrifice. I think to a certain extent it was, but it was a certainly miserable journey. And talking about journey, I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. You know why? I'm too near home to turn back now. I can almost see the gates of that city. I don't want to miss it for nothing, do you? I mean, I don't want to miss it for all the millions in the world. The Bible says, for what shall it profit a man or a person if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Folks, there's nothing more important than the soul of man, our life. God the Creator. God who loves the unlovable. And someone says, you can't do anything that God wouldn't love you. Now, He wouldn't approve, and He don't like people to be disobedient and not serve Him. He does not like that. That's how come He come to redeem us, to claim us, to bring us back home. But He loves us. It's kind of like a parent. Children may be disobedient. They may get on drugs. They may go wild sexually and immorally and everything else. They may come in and say, I hate you. I hate your guts. And they may pitch and they may rave. But I want to tell you, usually that parent will still love that child because that's their child. And we should always, those of us that are parents, express love to our children. Don't ever give the indication that you're approving of their wrong, that you understand, and all of that. Because you want them to serve God. You can't make them serve God. In fact, where the scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he won't depart from it. And in my opinion, a lot of people have a misinterpretation. Of course, some people may think mine's missed, but I think I'm right. Because we know there are people that have taken their children to church. They didn't just send them, they went with them. They've heard many sermons over and over. They know what they need to do to make peace with God, but they just rebellious. They're determined they're not going to do it. They're going to seek the pleasures of this world. Well, the Bible says there's pleasures out here for a season. But then, after that season, what's the next season? It's standing before God and giving account. So, we know that if you set all the godly examples and everything for a child to do right, and they end up not doing right, going out and then committing suicide, murdering a whole bunch of people and doing crazy weird stuff. Said, I didn't train them that way. They knew better than that. Sure they did. But why? And I've had people to come to me, preacher, I did everything I can. Now they're out there raising hell. They're out there living like the devil. They're here, they're there. You tell me how come. I've done everything to theirs. They reached 15 years old, 16 years old. I took them to church and we had prayer and family scripture reading and all. Why they act like that? They act like they're because there's a sin nature. That started back in the Garden of Eden. Well, I got to move on here. But the interpretation I have of that, and I think it's solid, I've heard some others agree with it, says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. What is it? He will not depart from the truth. The truth that you've taught that child, the way he should live, the way he should act, the way he should go. That don't mean because God has given every one of us a free will to choose. It's our choice where we choose to go to heaven or go to hell. And if you go to hell, you're going there, and it's not for 3 days and three nights, says Jonah, considered the belly of the whale, hell. It's a different hell. The Bible says in hell, there's fire and brimstone. Who wants to be in that for 3 seconds? Or 3 hours? Or 3 days? Or 3 weeks? Or 3 months? But it will be 10 million years, and then 10 million more. And hell will just begin. Folks, we don't want to go to hell. I know at times in our spirit we may see somebody we don't like and maybe they mistreat us and said things, and you might form, if you don't say it, it may be come in your heart, your thoughts, and God even knows our thoughts. But anyhow, we may have something. It's good enough for them. Let them go to hell. I don't care about it. We shouldn't have that attitude. God cared about Jonah, and He gave him a second chance. God had mercy on him and showed His mercy. But I remember a story about the Good Samaritan. I got to hurry here. Good Samaritan, we know the story of the man that was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was robbed and beaten and basically left for dead beside the roadside. And here come the priest, all his garb and everything, just walking right along. I know. You've got to watch. Okay, I'm about to wind it up. So he's walking along, the priest. Well, what's that over there? Looks like somebody's been beaten up, been robbed. Looks like he's suffering. Or is he dead? Well, I don't want nothing to do with that. I'll get the furthest way I can go. I'll just come over here. I'll get away from him. And he walked on by. He didn't stop. He didn't offer help. He didn't offer to try to clean his wounds. He didn't do a thing. But here come a person that loved God and feared God and trusted God. And he said, this is not right. Somebody ought to help the poor soul. He says, I'm God's hands. Basically, I'm going to help him. So what did he do? He reached over there, got the man, loaded him up, and took him to the inn where they cleaned him up, where they fed him, where they took care of him. He says, I've got to run on, but he says, I'll be coming back in a little while. He says, but here's some money right now. You just go ahead and take best care of him you can. And when I come back, if there's anything else, so I'll take care of it. Now, which one of them was the best one? Was it that highly disobedient priest, or was it the Good Samaritan? I know I've got to wind this up, and I'm going to wind it up by saying, it don't matter what you've done, it don't matter where you've done it and how you've done it, it don't matter what the world thinks about it, it don't really matter what your mom and daddy thinks about it, although you probably already know. If you, with godly sorrow and true repentance, call on the name of Jesus, it don't matter what your situation is, your circumstance, or where you are right now. If you look up to God and call out, cry out to God, He'll have mercy and compassion, and He will forgive you of all your sins, and He will cast them in the sea of God's forgetfulness in the sea, and won't remember them anymore. Now, people will, but God won't. And that's a wonderful thing about God. Well, we know there was a terrible storm, and I can't go into kind of the last chapter about how that Jonah become angry because God didn't destroy the people. He didn't destroy them. By the way, the short message was, yet 40 days, and then he'll be overthrown if they don't repent. But the king and the people, they called a fast throughout the land. They fasted and they prayed and they sought God. And God heard their prayers and He spared the city. So here again, the mercy of God. But how did they receive the mercy of God? With sacrifice and praise before God. And remember, God has everything in charge and in control. And He had prepared for all this event that was happening. I told you about going down, down, down. One way to go down, but when you go up, God, He'll pull you up. But when He reached down His hand for me and He lifted me up above the shadows, and now He's planted my feet on solid ground. He knew the circumstance of Jonah and his rescue, so He prepared a wind and storm that got His attention. He prepared a whale. He prepared a gourd. He prepared the worm. He prepared Jonah's life to be preserved. He prepared for Nineveh's salvation. And guess what? He's gone to prepare a place for you and me. Are we planning on going there? I hope we are. I know that it's 12 o'clock or so. I was going to have us. If you'll bear with us, I want to just sing the song. It's number 60 in the songs we love to sing. And it's, I'll thank Him. What? 160. 160. And it says, I'll thank Him, I'll praise Him. In a few days it's Thanksgiving. I hope that you have the wonderful Thanksgiving, you and your family there. But I hope whatever you do, you don't forget God. Because we need God in every given situation of life. If you don't mind, stand. And if you're here today and your heart is not right with God, when we're through singing, you feel the liberty to go. But if you're here and you want to talk with God, my wife and I will meet you here, and anyone else would. And we'll pray with you. And we'll settle that thing right now. We can settle that situation, and you can experience the mercy and grace of God.